We've been over these last weeks, and for one more Sunday, we're looking at the patriarchs. Their stories are told in the book of Genesis, the beginning of the people of God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham is the beginning of the people of God, that God's plan to redeem a broken world and a lost human race begins when, it begins when God goes searching for, in the garden for Adam and Eve and says, "Where are you?" Luther said those are the first words of gospel in the Bible. But God calling to himself a set-apart people begins in the 12th chapter of Genesis with Abraham. And Abraham's son is Isaac. And I'm sorry that Isaac gets short shrift in this series. We looked at him last week, and great love story, which is primarily about the love of God. When Rebecca comes from Mesopotamia to be the wife of Isaac. Rebecca will give birth to twins, Jacob and Esau. And you may remember that Jacob got his name at birth because they're twins, and Esau is born first, which should give him the birthright. He will be the eldest. He will be the one who's the heir of the promise. And as they come out of the womb, Jacob is holding on to Esau's heel. And so they named him Jacob, which literally means heel grabber, but it's ancient Hebrew idiom for cheater. One who grabs the heel is a cheater. That's his name. So as they grow up, you probably remember the story. Rebecca, who seems so pure and innocent last Sunday, turns out to be a schemer like everybody else in these stories. She favors Jacob, and Isaac favors Esau. And Rebecca hatches a plot with her favorite son Jacob to steal the birthright, steal the inheritance from Esau. He was getting old, he was blind, and Esau goes off to hunt to get some food to make a delicious meal for his dad that his dad had requested, Isaac had requested. While he's gone, Rebecca hatches this plot, calls Jacob, her son, and says, "Look, I'm going to fix a meal such as your dad likes. And he can't see, so what you're going to do is we're going to put some animal skins on you, because remember, Esau was a hairy man and Jacob was a smooth man. And we're going to put animal skins on you, and you're going to wear his coat so you'll smell like him. And you're going to go in and ask for the blessing," which happened. The old man gives the blessing, the blessing that belonged to Esau, he gives to Jacob. All right. Now, as we begin chapter 28, Jacob is on the run. He's running for his life because Esau is out to get him. So we're picking up the story, chapter 28, verse 10. Hear now the word of God. "Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you have given me, I will give a full tenth to you." This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come as the fire and burn. Come as the water and cleanse. Come as the light and illumine. Amen. Jacob is on the run. He's also out looking for a wife. That's part of the story. But he's on the run. And he's in unfamiliar territory. He's run out into the rocky hills of Judea. And he is most emphatically, let's underline this, he is most emphatically not on a spiritual quest. He's not out there looking for God. In his exhaustion, he lays down on the ground to go to sleep. But I wonder if he was afraid even to sleep. Esau was a skilled hunter, and he knew how to track game. And I wonder if Jacob was afraid even to close his eyes and go to sleep. And by the way, God has built into us, God has built into our very physiology a reminder that comes every 24 hours that reminds us that you and I are not God. We have to sleep. And when we are asleep, we are completely vulnerable, completely helpless. Actually, Jacob is more vulnerable now than he ever knew, than he ever suspected. Because what he doesn't know is that God has been waiting for this moment. God has been planning this moment all of his life. And God is about to interrupt his life with grace and with love. There's a number of surprises in this story. First of all, is the surprise that God would speak to this. Well, it's not surprising that God would speak. Okay, God speaks all the time. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 19, the heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech. Night to night declares knowledge. God is speaking all the time. The surprising thing in this story is that God is speaking specifically to this scoundrel. And that's what he is. His name even means cheater. How'd you like to carry that around through life? But that's who he is. He stole his brother Esau's birthright. And the irony is God had intended that he would be the heir of the promise anyway. But he took matters into his own hands, and we see that throughout these stories of the patriarchs. He took matters into his own hands. cheated his brother out of the birthright. We're in tax season right now, so Jacob kind of reminds me of there was a man who went to church on Sunday morning, and he heard a sermon about the sin of lying, and his conscience was stricken. So he went home and he immediately got pencil and paper, and he wrote a letter to the IRS and said, "Dear IRS, I cannot sleep at night. Enclosed, find my check for $500. P.S. If I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest." That's Jacob. He's a cheater. The great miracle of the story is not that God spoke to a man, it's that God spoke to this man. It's a picture of God's grace. Remember the difference between justice and mercy and grace. Justice is getting what you deserve. And we're all sinners. Everyone has sinned and fallen short. Every one of us deserves God's wrath and judgment. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. When God withholds judgment from those who deserve it, that's us. But finally, and best of all, there's grace. Yesterday at Jackie's service, we sang "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me." Grace is God's favor given to the undeserving. Grace is getting what you do not, the blessing and favor that you do not deserve. And that's Jacob. That's the grace of God. Also, God spoke to Jacob in a surprising place. The Bible says in a certain place, but really it's no place. He's out in the middle of nowhere. He's not in church. He's not in a temple. He's not in a designated place of worship. And right down to this day, dear friends, God interrupts people's lives in all kinds of, you know, God can and does speak in church, but God is not confined to this place. And God will speak in all kinds of surprising places. Jacob, in a very significant way, is without a home. He's had to run away from his home, and now he's wandering the hills of Judea. And in a way, in a spiritual way, homeless. There's a wonderful old hymn. We're not going to try to sing it because I don't think we know the tune, but there's a wonderful old hymn by John Henry Cardinal Newman. John Henry Newman was an American minister in the 19th century. He was an Episcopalian bishop who converted to Roman Catholicism, which I'm not going to hold against him this morning. He wrote a wonderful hymn called "Lead Kindly Light." It goes, "Lead kindly light amid the encircling gloom. Lead thou me on. The way is dark, and I am far from home. Lead thou me on." And by the way, you may know that near many college campuses, there's a Newman Center, right? It's named for John Henry Cardinal Newman. Okay, now we're back to the real sermon. There will come moments in life when we feel just as homeless as Jacob. And there's an illusion, I think, that comes in life, and I know I've suffered from this a lot, that I think, you know, my life is not in the right place, and I need to get myself in the right place before God can really speak to me and God would have anything to do with me and God could really use me. I've got to get myself in the right place. And you know what I'm talking about, not geographically, not in terms of location, but I'm in the wrong place and I need to get to the right place. Jacob is no place. And that doesn't stop God from finding him and talking to him and revealing himself to him. God came in a dream. And this is a really wild dream. The dream, and I'm going to get more specific about the dream in a minute, but this dream indicates, well, something that the 139th Psalm says. You know, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand will lead me. Whither could I go from your spirit? There's no place that I can go to flee away from God where I won't be at home with him. This dream indicates, this dream of the ladder connecting heaven and earth indicates that God is much closer than we imagine, much closer than we know, and there is a link between heaven and earth. When Jacob woke up after experiencing that dream, he's ecstatic. He said, "The Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he gave that place a name. He set up a stone. He took that stone that he had laid his head on, and he poured oil on it to consecrate it. And he said, "I'm going to call this place Bethel." It means house of God. This is the very house of God. And I didn't know it. In that desolate, hostile, no place, well, I was about to say Jacob found God, but that's not true. God spoke to Jacob. God had never lost track of him. God can speak to us in the busyness of life. God can speak to us in quiet moments. He might speak through something that we've read or something that we hear in a conversation or something that we hear on the radio or on television. God speaks to us, prompts our hearts in all kinds of ways. Now, let me be very clear. God primarily speaks to us in his written word, which leads us to Jesus, his word made flesh. But God also speaks with nudges and promptings that will drive us to him, drive us to his word. A couple of weeks ago, I said to you, because I am a Reformed Christian, I'm very much anchored in that tradition, I get really nervous when I hear people say things like, "God told me." And I want to respond. My favorite response is, if you want to hear the audible voice of God, read your Bible out loud. And yet, there is also an inner voice by which God speaks. God will never, when you hear that voice will never, ever contradict his written word. And it will place in you, one of the ways to recognize the voice of God, it will place in you a hunger for this word and to know Jesus more deeply. And any word that doesn't take you that direction is not from God. And yet, God speaks. God has spoken into my life. God will speak into your life. Has there ever perhaps been a moment in your life, maybe a long time ago, when you sensed God speaking to you? And maybe you wondered about it and you wondered if that was God, but you just kind of went on with your life and moved on. The modern world has taught us wrongly. The modern world has taught us to dismiss the invisible because it can't be measured. It can't be, you can't see it under a microscope. We can't control it and we can't understand it. So the modern world has taught us to dismiss the invisible. And what I want you to see here in the story of Jacob is he was oblivious to it also until he had that dream. And then he woke up and he realized God was in this place. And I didn't know it. God will speak at any moment to the most unworthy person in the most surprising place. And God made some surprising promises to Jacob. In his dream, Jacob saw a ladder. And it's a ladder that began on the earth and it extended up into heaven. And he saw angels. Remember, angels are the messengers of God. He saw angels ascending and descending, going up and down the ladder. God has bridged the chasm. God, in fact, what in this dream, God is giving Jacob a preview of the gospel. That God will bridge the chasm between heaven and earth. 2,000 years later, and not very far from the place where Jacob laid down his head and called that place Bethel, a young Jewish man named Nathanael was sitting under a tree. Perhaps he was praying. Perhaps he might have even been thinking about Jacob's dream at Bethel. And all of a sudden, his buddy Philip came to him and said, "Come with me. There's a man I want you to meet. He's the man that the prophets wrote about, and his name is Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael said sarcastically, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see," says Philip. By the way, that's a great model for evangelism, to share Christ with others. Just come and see. Come along with me. And look. So they go and they meet Jesus. And when Jesus sees Nathanael coming, he says, "An Israelite in whom there is no guile," as opposed to, I wonder, as opposed to Jacob, who's full of guile, "An Israelite in whom there is no guile." And Nathanael bursts out, "You're the Son of God. Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." And Jesus said, because you heard me say, "I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? I tell you, Nathanael, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Do you hear the amazing claim that Jesus is making there? Jesus is Jacob's ladder. The vision that he saw in his dream of a bridge between heaven and earth. Jesus is that bridge. He's truly God and truly human. He's the one mediator. There is one God, says 1 Timothy, and one mediator between God and people, the man Jesus Christ. He's the bridge. He's the way. God has come near to us in Jesus Christ. And because of that, brothers and sisters, we are not alone. And simply by faith, simply by placing our faith on Him and His cross, Jesus became that bridge when His cross was lifted up and He was lifted up to die. Evil thought it had won its greatest victory, but it was evil's greatest defeat. He is the bridge that by holding onto Him by faith, the way is made for us to return to our Heavenly Father, to know God. Well, back in Genesis 28, God made Jacob a great promise. God said to Jacob, "Behold, I am with you." None of this is deserved. This is pure grace. God says to Jacob, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I've promised you. I am with you." What a wonderful promise. And it's for us as well. It's the same promise that God gave to Moses when God sent Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. "I will be with you." It's the same promise that God gave to Joshua when Joshua led the people into the promised land and they faced many challenging battles. God said, "I will be with you." It's the promise that Jesus gave to us when he said, "Go." He said to his followers, "Go into all the world. Make disciples, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And remember," he said, "I will be with you even to the end of the age." Jesus came among us. One of the names that the prophet Isaiah gave him was Emmanuel, God with us. We're not alone. And God said, "I will keep you." It's the promise of protection. A good shepherd protecting his sheep. He is present. He is concerned. He watches over. And finally, God said, "I will bring you back to this land. I'm going to give you a home, Jacob. You're going to have a place." And going home strikes a deep chord in every person. The world can be an unwelcoming place, but God has a home for us. In just a few minutes, we're going to sing a paraphrase of the 23rd Psalm. It has a wonderful line: "There in the house of the Lord, there will I find a settled rest, while others go and come. No more a stranger nor a guest, but like a child at home." Well, Jacob is transformed, and he responds with worship, and he made a vow. Did you catch the vow that Jacob made at the end of that text? In gratitude to God, in response to God's initiative in his life, and God always calls us to respond to him with obedience. In joyful obedience, Jacob says, "I will give you a tenth of everything that I have." And I just, boy, when I read that, I want to stop right there. Boy, I know Jacob. Is this Jacob we're talking about? Is this the cheater we're talking about? Is this the grabber, the heel grabber? Yep. He's transformed. He's new. The Word of God is powerful, and it does not return to him empty. When God speaks into our lives, brothers and sisters, we are transformed. Live into it. Live in by faith. Live into that transformation. If God can speak to such an unworthy man as Jacob in such an unexpected place as Bethel, what will God speak into your life? Well, I can tell you what God already has spoken into your life. He's given us his living word, his Son, Jesus Christ. And no more powerful word has ever been spoken, brothers and sisters. Ask God to give you ears to hear. Ask God by his Holy Spirit to give you a heart to receive his voice. Through Jesus Christ will renew and make you whole. Amen. Let's bow together. Mighty God, we thank you for your great grace and mercy to us in Christ, that Jesus came to us truly God and truly man to be our mediator, to go to the cross in our place and to be the bridge between heaven and earth, that by faith and faith alone in him, we are reunited with you, O God, and made new and whole, made a part of your people. And you have a place for us right now in your family here on earth, and one day in our forever family in your presence. So, Father, give us hearts of gratitude like Jacob, to give ourselves freely to you. And we will give you all of the praise and the glory. In Christ's name, amen.